Right, before we get to the message, one other thing I want you to know. We're going to be doing something in the start of the new year, which I'll tell you about in more detail later. But in a nutshell, this is Sitting on a Hill Teaching Center. We called it a teaching center because teaching is important to me. The Word of God is Jesus revealing Himself to us in all things. This is Jesus showing who He is to us. There is power in here, and the more that we know the Word of God, the more we walk in His strength, in His liberty, the more that we can represent Him. I chose Teaching Center as a name because teaching the Word of God is so important. That's why I was so overjoyed when Ed and Luann said that they wanted to start the healing school, because that's teaching the Word of God. But we're going to be starting something else. I'll tell you the details later. But part of it's going to be we're going to be offering courses that are available online at no cost. We're going to keep adding those courses. And we are starting the process of taping the first course. Jim Pinkelman is doing the first course. He's going to be talking about prophecy and how prophecy works in our lives. How many lessons is it going to be in this course? 20 lessons. Now, throughout this entire program, no lesson, not just Jim's, but all the other courses that we offer, no lessons are going to be more than a half hour in length. So they're quick, they're easy, but it is teaching in the Word of God. It's going to be available to everyone. Jim had the first two sessions already. We taped them last Thursday. He's going to tape lessons 3, 4, and 5 this Thursday at 7 o'clock. Now, these are being videotaped, so they will, again, be put up online and offered to anyone who wants them. But we welcome an audience. So if you guys want to hear lessons 3, 4, and 5 on just the power and the Holy Spirit moving through us, that'll be this Thursday at 7 o'clock. And we'll give you more information on that. Cover the purpose of prophecy. You're going to do all that in 3 lessons? Man, you are awesome. You are economical. So that's this Thursday. And we'll remind you just in coming weeks when more lessons come. You guys ready for the Word of God? All right. Thank you, Jesus, for your Word. Thank you, Jesus. Well, last week, we were talking about how Jesus has already prepared for us everything that we need in this life. Everything we need, He's already prepared for us, and it is prepared and established for us in the spiritual realm. Before you were even aware of whatever needs you may be faced with today, before you were aware of them, Jesus foresaw those needs, and He provided your answers, your deliverances, and your victories. It is already done. Amen? Dismissed. You guys have a great week. If you guys are facing, and we all face these things, when we face those stubborn trials of life, those stubborn trials where you're just not seeing the answers manifest in your life, we all experience those things. Well, today what I'm going to look at is what the power of His breakthrough looks like in our lives. Recall last week we had that illustration of those storehouses of our blessings in heaven. Jesus has provided for each one of us. Jesus has provided every good thing that you need in this life. It's already established. It's already done for you. It is up to us to possess all of those things He's prepared for us. It's up to us to take delivery of all of those blessings, of all of those deliverances, to take delivery, and we do that by the words of faith that we speak. Now, we do live in a fallen world. Trials and troubles are going to rise up against us. In fact, I'm sure that just sitting here today, some of us here today are probably facing some distressing situations. But the good news is Jesus has already conquered all of those situations. He's already taken care of all of them. We just need to lay hold of those things. Look what it says in John chapter 16, verse number 33. And I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. Man, the Word of God is good. His promises are awesome. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I have conquered it for you. Jesus has provided everything we need. It is already established for us. He's already deprived the world. He's deprived it of the power against you. He's conquered it. All we need to do is walk in and receive all of those great things that he's provided for us. You know, this is one of the 8 times that we're instructed to be of good cheer in the New Testament. To be of good cheer is more than just to put on a brave face for the world around you. To be of good cheer means that during those stubborn trials of your life, those stubborn trials where you're struggling to see his answers manifest, it means that during those times we will stir up our courage, our confidence, and unwavering faith in his promises regardless of what we see in the natural. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples when he was walking on the water to them in their distress. This is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." This is another one of the times that we see Jesus instructing us to be of good cheer. Now let's look at that same verse, but I want you to see it through the Amplified Bible. That same verse says, "But instantly he spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, I am.'" That is the declaration of Jesus Christ being the great I am. It's the same identification that God gave to Moses. He is saying, "I am the great I am. I am. Take courage. I am. Stop being afraid." You know, we sometimes think, we feel like it's impossible to be of good courage in the face of those stubborn trials that we walk through. But you can. Because Jesus wouldn't command us to do something that he hasn't already empowered us to do. Jesus is the great I am. And he lives within you and me. That means that his nature is already in you. His nature is already in your spirit. Decide to be. Make the decision. Decide to be of good cheer. And you will experience his power of breakthrough. And you will also enter in to his peace. Decide to be of good cheer. Experience the breakthrough. Enter in to his peace. We see this exemplified in what Jesus told the woman that was delivered or healed from the issue of blood. So let's look at that. This is in Luke chapter 8. I got a lot of verses for you today. I expect a lot of paper cuts as we go through the Bible today. It's all right, you got the healing, so. Luke chapter 8, verse number 48. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now again, let's look at that same verse, but let's look at it through the lens of the Amplified Bible. Same verse. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith, your confidence and trust in me has made you well. Go, enter into peace. Untroubled, undisturbed well-being." I want you to take notice of something important right here. When Jesus said to this woman, when he said, "Be of good cheer," she was already healed. Her healing had taken place before this. In the verse before this, in verse number 47, it says that she was healed immediately. So she was already healed before he said that. So why did Jesus say to this woman, "Be of good cheer"? Because what he's saying is, have undaunted faith. Why did he say that to her after she had already been healed? Because breakthrough is about more than just receiving. Breakthrough is about entering into his peace. His peace in the knowing that you have firmly laid hold of and taken possession of his total and complete victory in such a way and with such peace that it can never be taken away from you again. Breakthrough is more about just receiving. It's about receiving and being in that place of peace. Let me paraphrase that verse I just read to you. Let me paraphrase. This is Todd's paraphrase. Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith in me has healed you. Now, be of good cheer. Continue in courage. Continue in confidence. Continue in unwavering faith, which brings you to the place of peace, of my undisturbed place of rest. Because there, the enemy can never again take or rob or steal your healing from you. That's the power of breakthrough. It's not just receiving, it's receiving and possessing and being in peace so the enemy can never take it away from you again. Do we need to say that again? That's a strong point for us to remember. That is the good cheer. Be of good cheer. This is what the Lord says to us. Be undaunted. Be undaunted when the testimony of the world says something contrary to God's word. Because you have the testimony of Jesus Christ in you. And his testimony says he has overcome the world on your behalf. He's deprived the world of its power against you. So be of good cheer and experience. Experience his breakthrough of power and be in his place of perfect, undisturbed peace in him. That's our goal. That's what he wants for us. That is how he wants us to be living our every day of our lives. That's what he wants for us, and that's what we should want. Now, I'm going to take us in an entirely different direction. I'm going to change directions drastically and take us back. For some of you, you weren't there, but you can still be there with us. I'm going to take us back to that teaching tour that we had in Israel at the first of the year. And here's why I want to take us there. Here's one of the great, powerful truths and benefits of learning the Word of God in Israel. Here's one of the benefits. Once you see the Word of God, once you see a biblical event, once you see where that biblical event took place, once you see that, you see the reality of what you only had read about before. You see the reality of it. And seeing the reality of that place and that location, then the promise that is associated with that location then becomes a firmer reality in your own mind. You understand that? When you see that actual physical location where a promise took place, you never forget that promise. And it is a firm reality in your mind because you saw the firm reality of where it took place. You didn't just read about it. You stood there and you saw it and you experienced it and you felt it. There's one place in Israel, one place that to me is a constant reminder of the power of God's breakthrough in our lives and of his promise that we can have the total, we can possess his total victory. That place is at a place called Warren's Shaft. Warren's Shaft is in the center of the old city. You guys who went to Israel, guys remember Warren's Shaft? Man, please say you did. Wow, really? Donna did. Okay, Warren Shaft, for those of you who are there, that's when we were in Jerusalem. Remember, we went down and we were down underneath the city, and it was all those water supply and all that. Okay, that's Warren Shaft. So Warren Shaft, it's the underground. It's the underground. Do you remember, Dina? Okay. I knew Donna did. You guys remember it? It'll come back to you.
No, I remember it, but I
didn't remember the name. Yeah, yes. So Warren Shaft, for those of you who weren't there, and even for those of us who were there, Warren Shaft is this underground system that provides water for the city of Jerusalem. And it always provides water. Even when the city of Jerusalem was under siege, Warren Shaft provided water for the city of Jerusalem. So Warren Shaft leads us to the very first part, the very beginning part of a biblical story that's going to tie us to this whole concept and principle of breakthrough. And it starts by also showing us the power of breakthrough with water. And this is a great image that I hope when today's done, you're going to remember a breakthrough and you're going to visualize and see the power of his breakthrough in your life, a breakthrough with water. So let's read that. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. I told you there's a lot of verses today. Okay, those of you who didn't remember Warren Shaft, that just means you got to go back. 2018, we're going to go back. And the king, so this is the king who is in Jerusalem. This is the king of the Jebusites. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem. I'm sorry, this is David. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you." They were thinking, "David cannot come in here." Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. Now David said on that day, "Whoever climbs up by the way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain." Therefore they say, "The blind and the lame shall not come into the house." Then David dwelt in the stronghold, and he called it the city of David, and David built all around from the millow and inward. So here's what's taking place. The Jebusites, they felt so comfortable. They felt so secure behind those walls of Jerusalem because nobody had been able to come against it. They felt so secure behind those walls of Jerusalem that they said the city could be protected by simply no more than the blind. All it would take to defend the city was the blind and the lame. What they were saying sarcastically was they did not believe any man could gain entry into the city of Jerusalem. Well, these verses tell us and show us that David's army took the city of Jerusalem because they entered in. They climbed up a water shaft. Now, many archaeologists believe that that water shaft that's being talked about there in that verse is Warren's Shaft, that very place that we were at. So David's men entered the city by climbing up this water shaft, which was the breakthrough. It was the breakthrough that led to the fall of the city of Jerusalem into the hands of David and into the hands of David's army. This story, in this portion of the story, this is the first part of God's demonstration of his power of breakthrough. And we see the rest of the story as we go about 10 verses later. And in the rest of that story, and we're going to focus on most of the rest of the story next week, but on the rest of the story, we do see where David gains that complete and total victory. That's what breakthrough is. Breakthrough is not just a partial victory. Breakthrough is the total, complete victory in Jesus Christ. And in the later verses, about 10 verses later, we see that David gained that total and complete victory when he defeated the Philistines. Because the Philistines were on their way. They were approaching David, and their intent was to drive David and the Israelites out of Jerusalem and out of the promised land as well. So, I want you to hear the story, but we're going to focus on most of this part of the story next week. But it's important that we at least understand how the story goes. So this is still in 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to read verses 17 through 25. And bear with me because I didn't bring my reading glasses. "Now when the Philistines heard that they'd anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand.' So David went to Baal Perazim." Remember that. "David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there and said, 'The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water.'" Remember that. "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now, it does go on and it talks about some other things that we'll look at next week. But that shows you exactly how David got that complete and final victory there at that place, Baal Perazim. And by the very words of David, David has given us an illustration on how we get that final, that total, that complete breakthrough of Jesus Christ into our lives. He shows us exactly what that looks like for us. Now, the final breakthrough where the promises of God were received and were possessed and established, it took place just a little bit south of the city of Jerusalem in that place called Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim means the master of breakthroughs. That's what it means. Jesus is our master of breakthroughs. If you're facing a situation in your life where you need to see the promises and the established victories of Jesus Christ manifested in your life, if you're struggling to find the power of breakthrough in your lives, if you're struggling to find those things, then be encouraged and be strengthened by God's demonstration of breakthrough at Baal Perazim. Because at Baal Perazim, we get a picture of the power of God's breakthrough deliverance into our lives. It is a picture of the power of water, the power of water that breaks through against all the lies and all the deceptions and all the impediments of Satan. Tony, we get that picture of the water breaking through. Satan, he may be able to withhold the promises of God. He may be able to withhold them for a moment, but he cannot withstand the breakthrough power of Jesus Christ. Because the breakthrough power of Jesus Christ is this. The power of water is unstoppable. This is an unstoppable force. That is the power of breakthrough that we have in Jesus Christ. It is the power of breakthrough. It's the power that is totally unstoppable in all things. Nothing can come against it. It's revealing for us, when you think about the picture of that power of water, it's revealing for us to know and to understand what the image of water, because David said that he experienced the breakthrough of God like the breakthrough of water. It's really important for us to understand what the imagery of water represents in the Word of God itself. What does water represent? I'm going to give you a nutshell because it represents a lot of different things. But water represents in the Word of God, it represents actually the Word of God itself. It represents the Bible and the power of the Word of God, the very power of the Word of God that you and I have authority to speak in His name. Jesus, of course, is the Word of God. And Jesus Himself said to the woman at the well, He said to her in John chapter 4 that He is the living water. This is all part of the imagery of water. It is the Word of God. But then if you go just three chapters later, in John chapter 7, Jesus identifies the Holy Spirit Himself in you and I. Jesus identifies the Holy Spirit as the powerful rivers of living water that flow through us. So what is the imagery? What is the picture? What does water represent? Water represents when David said that God breaks through like water, with the power of water. Water represents the power of the Word of God. It represents the new life and the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. And it also represents the accompanying power of the Holy Spirit that flows through those who have accepted that new covenant in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? I went through that awfully fast. Everybody get that? No? I'll give you the notes later. You can look at the notes later. That is the power of breakthrough. And that's what water represents for us. And that's why water is that power. It represents that power of breakthrough for us in all things. Now, I want to spend the rest of the time we have this morning looking at just the first part of this breakthrough, the first part of the power of breakthrough. It's the breakthrough that we saw that transpired when David and his men, when they climbed up through that water shaft and when they forced the breakthrough upon the Jebusites and defeated them. That is where the beginning of the power of breakthrough takes place. So we're going to look at that, and then next week we'll close by looking at seeing the complete and total victory. So we're going to start by looking at the power of the breakthrough. So the Jebusites, when they were there in the city of Jerusalem, the Jebusites thought, they believed that they had such a hold on the city. They thought that their hold on the city of Jerusalem was unbreakable. Well, likewise, there may be things in your life that you feel like have an unbreakable hold against you. It's one of those stubborn trials of life that I've been talking about. You may feel like things have an unbreakable hold on you, but let's learn the lesson, the first part of the lesson of breakthrough. Because here is what the Jebusites failed to understand. The Jebusites failed to realize that they were already defeated. When they were standing there in the walls of Jerusalem, they were already defeated. They were defeated before David and his men even got to the water shaft. Because their defeat was established 450 years previous to that when God himself spoke it. God spoke it. And when God spoke it, it was done. At the moment that God spoke it, it was already established. Their defeat was established and it was just waiting for it to be enacted. And we see that take place 450 years previous. And we see that in Exodus chapter 23, verse number 23. Exodus 23, 23 says, this is God speaking, "For my angel will go before you and bring you." Now this is God speaking while the people are still in the wilderness. This is before they even entered into the promised land. "For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." God spoke their defeat 450 years earlier. The Jebusites were defeated. The moment that Moses spoke those words of God, the Jebusites were defeated. And God moved through the words of faith that were spoken by Moses. He moved through those words to cut off and utterly defeat the Jebusites, even though they were behind those protected walls of Jerusalem. Why? Because David enacted the word that was spoken. Remember, the power of breakthrough is water. Water represents the power of the word of God. God spoke the word 450 years earlier. And when David spoke that word, even though it was 450 years later, when David enacted that word, the defeat that was already established for the Jebusites was enforced and took place. That's the power of speaking the word of God in faith. When we speak the word of God in faith, the power of the word, like water breaking through a dam, breaks through your life and all of those stubborn trials in your life. Think about those stubborn trials that you just haven't seen victory over yet. This is the example for us. This is the beginning part of breakthrough. It is the word of God and standing on the word of God. And it is the power that breaks through all of those things in your life. Now, I want to go back and look at the two verses that actually precede Exodus 23, 23, because we can learn more about what we're talking about from those verses. So Exodus 23, verses 20 and 21. "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." God had prepared a place for them, just as God has prepared the victory for you. God had established their victory. God has already established our victory. "Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions." Who does this sound like? "For my name is in him." The Lord is telling Israel that my angel has gone before you and has prepared the way. He will lead you in to that which I have prepared for you. This is no ordinary angel. The capital A of angel indicates, and all the other verbiage that's around it indicates, this is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And you can tell by the words that he's talking about the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And the mere fact that the Lord himself says that my name is in him. This is Jesus leading them in powerful victory. Jesus leads them. Jesus is the one who is leading them. So let's bring that to our needs today and those stubborn trials in our lives. What are the promises of Jesus Christ that are unrealized in your life? Understand this. Satan is absolutely and utterly powerless to stop the breakthrough of Jesus' victories from the spiritual realm into your present life today. He's powerless to stop those things because Satan was defeated 2,000 years ago. He was defeated. And we enforce his defeat, and we enforce the breakthrough of victories that is ours when we speak his word in faith, because we are speaking the word of God like water breaking through all of those stubborn trials in our lives. Jesus is still the one, just like he was in Exodus chapter 23, Jesus is still the one that today leads us and brings us into that all of those victories that he has prepared and established for us. He's brought us into those things. And when we speak the word of faith against those stubborn trials of life, we are enacting the breakthrough and the power of his breakthrough. We're enacting it as we speak the word, which is the water of his word and the power of his word. Now, I've showed you a lot of Old Testament. This is all proved out to us. This is all shown us again. It's all shown us in the New Testament as well. It's confirmed by this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Look in those verses. Look at all the references to water in those verses. We are to drink the life. Drink the water of life that is the Word of God. Drink that water in. Jesus was their rock. And Jesus is still our rock today. And just as he provided and established the victory over the Jebusites 450 years before their defeat, in the same way, Jesus has provided everything that you need in this life. He has established and provided every victory that you need in his life. And he established it 2,000 years ago. We enforce it the same way that we see that it was enforced by David. We enact, we speak the word of God, and we speak it in power. This brings us the power of breakthrough. And when you're speaking the word of God, we should be picturing that breakthrough coming through in our lives with the same force of that water breaking through the dam. It's an unstoppable force. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can impede it. Flow in the power, the breakthrough power. Flow in the breakthrough power of Jesus Christ that comes through the water of his word. And wash away every one of those stubborn trials in your life. Wash it away in the power of the Word of God. Amen? So next week we're going to look at the second part of this, which is the taking total victory, total and complete victory that we see at Baal Perazim, the place of breakthrough, the master of breakthrough, Jesus' breakthrough in our lives. Jesus, we do thank you and praise you that you are the master of breakthroughs. And I know that each one of us here, we all have something in our lives, and some of us are facing and dealing with things that are distressing. But we do know that you have conquered and overcome the world. We know that it's done. We know that you've already established our victories. Whatever we face today, no matter how daunting it looks to us, you have already provided, prepared, and established our victories for us. And we will usher them in. We'll usher them in from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. We will see the breakthrough of your victory, the power of your breakthrough, as we stand and speak the word of God over those stubborn trials and issues in our life. And we give you the praise in advance for it. Even before we see it done, we give you the praise as we flow in that breakthrough power of yours. We give you the praise, and as we thank you and praise you, we walk up to the front of your victory parade where we honor and glorify you as we march in your victory. It's all in your name, Jesus, and we thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in praise.